Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blew your boat.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Singing Jennifer Hudson, and I'm telling you, please welcome David Otunga!
And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best girl I'll ever know. There's no way I could ever go.
My ears, they are ringing over the fact that we found something that David Otunga was worse at than wrestle. So, ladies and gentlemen, please fine-tune your internet. I promise I will never play that again. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And tonight I have some of the usual suspects. One formerly coming to us from Toledo, Ohio, now in BFE, I'm not sure which state at the moment. That would be our step.
Josh Hector. I am currently hailing in Greenville, Ohio, which is northwest of Dayton. Also, David Otunga posing with his one-year-old son. Way to lose your tough guy, Kratos, sir.
I've seen this picture. It's actually adorable, and it helps Otunga's charisma. But it doesn't help his ring cred at all. Let's see. Aya, swinging in from New York, our favorite audio technician, Mr. Jim Williams.
Actually, New Jersey, but I'll take whatever I can. And can I just say, The Miz doing jump around is simply awesome.
Pardoning the pun, that is actually... He did do a very good job, actually.
Yeah, it was awesome stuff, really.
I need to see this video. And our fourth is, seems almost routine now. Fourth.
I honestly don't know what's worse. David Otunga trying to sing, or Drew McIntyre getting beaten up by his wife.
Ooh!
Bazinga.
But all things in their due order, so I'm going to have to start with this button. As this is breaking news as of early this afternoon,
yes.
Brought in from PW Insider, that former WWE superstar Lance Garrison Cade, Lance Not McNaught or Not, I didn't catch
McNaught.
It. McNaught. Is
McNaught.
No longer with us. He had passed of heart failure at the ripe young age of 29 years old.
Sad stuff. Sad stuff.
Yeah. And what's even worse, he leaves behind two young daughters.
Oh. Well,
this has been one that this kind of scares me, because this is one of the handful of graduates of the Shawn Michaels Academy.
Mm.
And they really wanted to do something with him. If you remember the boggling going on in storylines in 2008, just as Chris Jericho was turning heel, that Lance Cade was directly under his wing,
mm-hmm.
and smack dab in the middle of the storylines between him and Shawn Michaels, there was potential there. I was, you know, I remember him with Mark Jindrak in 2004, as, you know, we jokingly called them Rookie Impact. These were the guys that stole the bounty briefcase on for the money that they had on Goldberg.
Right.
These were the guys playing video games back before the Dude Busters made it cool.
Yes.
So he will be missed.
Absolutely.
WWE mm-hmm. has acknowledged it on their website.
Mm.
I don't expect a tribute on Sunday. I expect it on Monday. I really don't think
yes.
they're going to put it down or at the beginning of their pay-per-view.
Exactly.
And it's sad, regardless of what happened, or how he died, because he always felt like he was just one angle away from just becoming a star. Just one thing to be that spark.
True.
And understanding that he was getting his act back together, he was ready to get re-signed. They had had him in developmental for about a year, ended up not doing anything with him. Apparently his release had come about because he was seeking assistance. He was having trouble with sleeping pills to help him get off of painkillers. So trading one addiction for another isn't going to be a very good thing.
No. It just said every couple of months we go through one of these stories seemingly anymore, and it's depressing. It really is. I mean, you know, people don't realize, I mean, Nikki does, and I'm sure you guys do, but the common Jane and John Q public doesn't know the outside life of what these wrestlers have to do to be able to work 200 some odd nights, or 300 nights a year. It's insane. Nobody should have to go through it. I mean, it's sad stuff.
It is ridiculous, and I'm somebody who has advocated, not necessarily an off-season, but I really think that a mandated 2 months vacation for these guys every year, because there's very few people that are at the forefront of the storylines month after month, year after year. Even guys like John Cena need that time to step away and let some of those niggling injuries heal. We shouldn't just offer this to the high-end guys, to the Undertakers, to the Shawn Michaels, to the Triple H's.
And even in that downtime, you know, you can do other things on the side to promote the company. That way you're completely full circle. You can focus your efforts there, so it's not like you're not working, you're just not in-ring physically.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of people beaten to high holy hell and back, this Sunday was a fine tribute to my dear Uncle Paul's former company, and I'm not talking about Vince. I speak strictly of EV 2.0, aka ECW.
You mean the Hardcore Philadelphia promotion?
Yeah, them.
Yeah.
I thought they were that Philadelphia promotion.
Oh, they goofed it up so badly trying to cover. Oh, God.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my favorite part is, during one of the recent Botchamanias, they actually showed it, how even when they were trying to cover themselves, like, we can't say the initials, but these guys were big in ECW.
Botchamania 145 if you're scoring at home. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, dear. AKA
the Sabu episode where he only barely botches once. Which is nuts.
I just love the message he put in. Like, Sabu should always get less than 24 hours notice for a match now. That was my favorite part.
Now you guys are going to shoot me. I did not get to see Hardcore Justice.
I'm not too meh. Whatever.
Not necessarily something that you should run and try to find, but if you can find it on video, like if you see it somewhere on video at some point, it would be worth a look. It was an alright event.
It's at least worth a rental. It was actually a pretty good pay-per-view, all things told. Some things are... excuse me.
Wow.
Some things were okay. Some things could have been done better. But, hey, they worked with what they could, and they did a fine job, I think, all things told. It was very entertaining, 2 hours and 40 minutes, I guess.
And given who all showed up and everything that they were able to get through, I've read the recap. I've had a couple people talk to me about it. I'm very pleased that they were given this opportunity. Now, we discussed before this went down that this pay-per-view was going to be pretty much a one-shot because there really wasn't going to be, and there really wasn't any value further down. There really wasn't much else that they could do with it, right? Right?
Yeah.
But then... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Then came Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Where they said, hey, you know, we're going to just take our pay-per-view card and we're going to bring it over here and give it away. And since they were able to give it away, I'm going to have to give it away for a minute. Stat Boy, you have the information. Please fill us in.
Yes, I do. All right, here it is in order from what we did from bottom to top. De Niro, Morgan, Anderson. Morgan won, pinning the Pope. Myself, Carl, and Ford all got 1 point for picking Morgan to win. Nobody else got any points. Now, Hardy versus the World. Everyone picked correctly, who picked this match anyway, saying Jeff Hardy won. Everyone got the mystery opponent wrong, though. Because, well, the mystery opponent was Shannon Moore. So, Jim, Carl, Ford, Typho, and DJ all got 1 point for picking the winner correctly. Jim got 1 point for flushing the entire match, whereas I got 1.5 points for picking the winner correctly, Jeff Hardy, and flushing the opponent. Now, Love versus Rain. Everyone picked Love except for Carl and DJ. Everyone got a point except for Carl and DJ. Both Carl and DJ got a 0.5 point.
Way to put
Angle
it.
Angle versus Styles. It was too easy. Everyone got a point. Angle won. Beer Money versus the Murder City Machine Guns. Everyone had the winner right, the Murder City Machine Guns. The correct answer to who would pin who in the third and final fall was Saban pinning Storm. So therefore, Jim and Jason got 1 point. Myself, Carl, and Typho all got 1.5 points. Myself and Carl getting the 0.5 point for picking Saban as the pinner, and Typho getting that extra 0.5 point correct for picking the pinnee. Both DJ and Forth got the full 2 points for picking both the winner and the pinner and pinny correct. RVD and Abyss, the main event, Stairway to Janus match. RVD won after much plunder. So myself, Jim, Jason, and Carl all got 1 point. Fourth, Typho and DJ did not. Now the final scores out of the possible 8 points. Trailing up the pack is Typho and DJ with 4.5 points each. Following behind them in a tie for fourth with 5 points each, Jim and Jason.
I'm not last.
Tied for second with 6 points each is Carl and fourth. And the winner and new NAWC Fizzleweight Champion of the World, the Stat Boy, Josh Henninger!
Henninger
scored 7 points out of the possible 8.
Well played.
That's all.
Very good, very good.
This is a close one, but I expected logically Abyss should have won the match.
Well, let's just say he won the segment.
Mm-hmm.
As Mr. Hogan decided to come out and say, hey, look, that spotlight's too bright. I need to be standing in it. He then spent about 30 seconds kissing every ECW guy's ass.
Kind of a weird sight.
This was followed by the lights being turned out, which was odd because Sabu was already out there.
Wait a minute, was Cena already out there?
No, no sign of Sting. But when the lights came up, Foley was out cold, and a bunch of the TNA originals were out there with hockey sticks and assorted plunder of their own, beating everybody down. This also included Abyss getting his hands on RVD, and through the magic of editing, had bloodied it beyond recognition in the span of 25 seconds.
From what I heard, that was a ton of ketchup.
The length of time, pay attention, TNA editors, you're a bunch of Full Sail hacks, come on. At least time it to make it look like Abyss had enough time to beat him bloody with Janice.
I don't know what was worse. I don't know what's worse, the fact that they screwed up the timing, or the fact that RVD's gear looked ripped up, but he didn't look like he was cut at all.
They did a good job keeping the lights low on him and not keeping a camera focused directly on him, but again, the timing from the mayhem in the ring leading to the shot in the back was way too short for the amount of damage that supposedly was done to Rob. And I'm going to go a step worse. Does anybody remember when Dixie Carter said that she didn't want to be an on-screen character?
I seem to recall that. Yeah, well, that's changed now, hasn't it?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I mean, I'm not calling her hypocritical. I'm not calling her, never mind.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
Yeah, neither do I.
But Dixie needs to work a little bit on her acting, too. She was wigging out hard, but maybe she was wigging out a little too hard.
Maybe she had something crawl up her leg or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I just know, I gave Reaction the benefit of the doubt. It is an interesting format. It's pretty much kind of an after-the-bell. Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it, after-the-bell. Essentially, they walked around and interviewed each of the wrestlers where they talked about the beatdown. They talked to the Guns about their victory. They talked to Angelina Love. They, pretty much, getting feedback on what they had just accomplished and what had just blown up in their faces. So not a bad start for another secondary show for TNA. Let's see, what else do I have in here? Hardcore Justice. Oh yes. Since it happened today, I can press this button again.
Whoops.
And it breaks. Okay, I'll press the other one. As we have other news in WWE, one of the divas has been successfully suspended. Actually, that wasn't very nice. Tiffany, the former ECW general manager and sidekick to Kelly Kelly as Blondourage on SmackDown, has been suspended indefinitely by WWE following a domestic dispute at a hotel just a little over a week ago. She and Drew apparently had exchanged words enough to bring in hotel security and eventually the police. Let's see. The two had already booked separate rooms when the police arrived. She was arrested that night and taken into custody. Apparently, WWE didn't know about it until the following Monday. This all went down back on the 7th.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Last Friday, Saturday, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, essentially, they have put her on indefinite suspension. I think it's just until the shitstorm dies down and she has her day in court and the charges, like any good domestic dispute, any episode of Cops you've ever watched, all charges will probably be dropped.
Yeah. Although I have found a random piece of lyrics from, well, less than reputable site. I'm insatiable. I can't get enough. I need to beat my husband.
No, 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 no. Although, admittedly, go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, you just mentioned, why do I have the vision of Drew McIntyre in full redneck mode on Cops in my head? You know, white beater tank top. Yay, my winner, yo, blah, 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 my woman. All that kind of stuff. I don't know. But.
How can you talk redneck with that thick of a brogue, though?
Well, yeah, true. That'd be problematic, but.
Well, let me find, because I found the funniest thing I heard related to this on the boards. It wasn't something I said. It was something from someone with the name Crimson. Let me see if I can find what they said, because it was something that really made me laugh.
Oh, Crimson.
I can't find it. It just had something to do with reworking the lyrics of his song. What's yours
well,
now
chat,
is mine. But I can't find
room, yeah, the chat room's having a field day with it. Someone needed to beat Drew's ass besides Matt Hardy. How about those crazy Louisiana women? Of course our Louisiana correspondent Carl Chenier is in the chat room.
And we know he's crazy, so that's
yeah, so his response was damn straight.
Did she yell, who dat? No, why you put it out?
No, 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 no. Although, just that, I'm imagining him arguing in his brogue and her yelling back at him in Creole. That hurt my brain.
Your head is going to explode.
My head explode. My head will momentarily explode, so I might need to take seconds here, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the North American Wrestling Connection here at Blog Talk Radio.
Are you lonely at night? Wanting that special someone to have in your life? Well, look no further when you can date Ring of Honor senior official Todd Sinclair. If you're interested in going out on a date with Todd Sinclair, send your information, pictures, and an explanation of why you should be the one to go out with ROH senior official Todd Sinclair to winadatewithtoddsinclair@gmail.com. Entries are coming in from all over, so act fast. You may be the one to go out with Ring of Honor senior referee.
Wow.
Certainly better than Rob Feinstein's dating ad.
You can blame American Dragon for starting the contest, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This erupted on Twitter about a week ago. And has been perpetuated over the weeks. They have actually gotten a pretty good flood of emails. And I don't know, are any of you guys Ring of Honor viewers, regular ROH viewers?
No.
Don't get it in this market yet.
Okay. Well, Todd Sinclair is essentially the Earl Hebner of Ring of Honor. And he's about 5'8". About 220 pounds, most of it right in front of him.
Oh, it sounds like me.
Not the kind of show we're doing. Oh, you mean? Oh, I'm sorry.
You above the belt line, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Okay. So, I'm curious to see where that's going to go, but we needed to lighten the mood. Okay.
Yes. So, thank you for apprising me of that.
Not a problem. I will lighten the mood even further with the HBK hoax that seemed to have popped up. I thought this was legit. A lot of people thought it was legit. The link that was posted on WrestleCrap is broken. That's for the mere sum of $5,000, you could have Shawn Michaels show up at your doorstep for 30 minutes. But it didn't specify on what exactly he would do. So, it came back through his Twitter. Let's see, I just saw a press release that was put out not by the owners or any quotes by the owners, but I own it. Sweet. Wait, that's sarcasm. Yes, that's where I flipped burgers all last summer. The DX segment was actually true. That's how I spent my time working for free, no less. Yes, I do own the place. What's funny is someone putting out a statement we know nothing about 3 years after it opened. I guess they wanted to make sure all of you know it's not a secret around here. That's why I work for free, and I had fun. No, I didn't sweet shoot and chin music anybody, but they sure did ring the bell a lot. Sean. Although, being fans ourselves, you actually had the disposable income to do this. Would you actually blow $5,000 to have Shawn Michaels come and visit you?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I would, but I do get the feeling that I would probably end up just asking him a lot of questions about his career, and that it wouldn't be a party. It would just be eventually just me asking him these questions.
Then you could document it and do a special show about it. There you go.
Yeah.
We pull our resources. Maybe we could get him in here. No.
I have no resources. Except the natural ones in the lawn, you know.
I will find better people to interview on this show. Don't worry about that. And I don't mean that against Shawn Michaels. Better as in people I know who are in the wrestling business who will do it for free because they don't mind calling in.
There you go.
So, let's see.
BTR cares. We got it.
That we do. Let's see. Ah, yes. Since NXT has brought us such fine stars as the Nexus, and will soon be adding to the upper echelons of WWE with Alex Riley and Husky Harris, FCW seemed a little empty, a little too quiet. So I don't know if it's Karen and Johnny Ace doing it, but they went out and got a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, anybody got some names for me? Because the only one I've got is Austin Creed, a.k.a. Consequences.
Un momento.
There's actually one other name that I can spout right off the top of my head, and that is Spadi the Arabian Bull, who was also just brought into here.
Okay.
I've got to find where his name is, though.
Real quick. I've got him right here.
Okay.
Oh, there it is, FCW update.
All righty. Okay, go ahead.
No, who else we got?
Let's see. We've got Xavier Woods, Austin Watson, formerly Consequences Creed, known as Austin Creed on the indie circuit. Buck Dixon, well, that's going to go over well. West Virginia Shane Canterbury, the son of Bart Canterbury, a.k.a. Henry O. Godwin.
Oh.
You mentioned Bronson, the former IFL MMA fighter. Is IFL still in existence, by the way?
Just the International Fight League?
Yeah. Just small talk there.
IFL died out July 31st, 2008.
Blame my network TV. Okay. Fide Rockman...
Up.
Mentioned him, I think you did.
That is Spotty the Arabian Bull.
Okay, yes, Spotty the Arabian Bull, pride and joy of Patterson, New Jersey. Roman Leakey, son of WWE Hall of Famer Sika, played for defensive tackle for Georgia Tech, also with the Vikings. He was with the Vikings, okay. And with, more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, the CFL's Edmonton Eskimos. WWE going after the Anoa family, N-O-E, I can't pronounce Samoan names right. Ricky Vaughn is going to be coming to FCW under the name Celeste. He's a Texas kid. Bobby Dutch, Bill Carr from Northeast Indies, primarily New York's FTW, and there you go. There's your 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There you go.
However, I count a total of 8.
What'd I miss?
A guy by the name of Devin Allen.
Ooh.
Who just looks like your generic run-of-the-mill guy.
Oh, so he'll win NXT.
Yeah. He almost does look like Alex Riley, so...
Oh, right.
Yeah, not that far of a pull.
So, this needs another brother? Anyway,
The Denny Crumb of NXT gets another great one!
Oh, do not...
Oh.
I swear to God, I will punch Michael Cole the next time I see him. Conspicuous by the by its absence on the list is the name Tyler Black.
Yes.
Yeah.
The rumor is running rampant that this ROH standout has signed a contract and will be working for WWE. I'd love to confirm that. I wish I could confirm that. And that's, Trista, that's why I wanted you on the show. You know Tyler Black inside and out. You would have given us the answer.
Maybe she knew that she wouldn't be able to speak proper English with the mere mention of Tyler Black in WWE.
Yeah, and then tonight she's got a paying gig, so I understand. But if he's there, awesome. I think it's always a cool thing when you see a guy graduate into the big two.
Especially after so much hard work, yeah.
Exactly. Now, do you think he's going to be able to work in the E? Because we, you know, this speculation went around with Danielson. This went around with Nigel McGuinness before he found out he was going to TNA. Tyler Black, is he a good size? Is he going to be okay working at the level of E?
Yeah.
To be honest, as long as they don't put him on NXT, and they do, as long as they don't use the traditional smart bait role of putting him on and jobbing him out only to rebuild him as a WWE entity, I think he'll do fine as long as they avoid doing that with him.
I've got my fingers crossed. I do hope that this rumor is true, because anybody who is able to actually get out of the indies and jump up to one of the big two, you know, that's just the dream. For every million guys that get into the business, 1,000 make it out of the wrestling school. Out of those 1,000 that make it out of the wrestling school, I'd say 150 of them, you know, make it steady in the ring. Out of that 150, maybe 10 of them can do it for a living. And out of those 10, one or two are going to make it up north or down south.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's true, kudos to Tyler Black. If it's not, well, I feel bad for whoever decided to start that rumor. And a real quick room 101 drop. Anybody want to help me throw the FCW name generator in there?
I will.
I will.
Jim?
I'm all for it. I need to hear a flush.
All right. To the FCW name generator, hasta la vista. I could make better names, so just typing in random, never mind.
Name generator has experienced its downfall. Yes.
I could look in the phone book and stop my finger and read the first name that's on there, and it could come out 10 times better than anything they can make up now.
I could come up with better names rolling dice.
Yeah.
Give me a list of first names and a list of last names, and I'll roll dice. And I bet you the names will still sound better than anything that comes out of that damn name generator.
Oh, heck with that. Yeah. Let's play pressure luck. Put first names, last names up there. Bam! Stop at a whammy.
That's a fucking whammy.
And I took all the whammies off.
Oh.
That's okay. With a stack of goofy names, it always ends the same way.
Yeah. Mikey over.
So, what have I got left on my list here?
To do the, let's see, water the lawn, go shopping, what? Oh, wrong list. Sorry.
No, on the other side. On the other side.
Ah,
of the
yes. Smack him in the face.
And I think, I found something. Linda McMahon.
Ah, yes.
On Tuesday, it was discovered that she had won the Republican primary in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And she will be on the ballot in November. I unfortunately cannot vote in Connecticut.
Nor can I.
I
was on my knees and just started throwing up right there.
Absentee ballots, everybody. Oh, I'm sorry.
Or, you know, just a suggestion I saw on an editorial page that when you do go to the polls, just go ahead and just find the write-in spaces right none of the above and see what happens.
Yes.
But we're not here to discuss politics.
No spin.
Although,
no spin.
No spin. Just the fact that there was also, Josh, I think you're the one who sent me the article about the WWE legal didn't like the way they were being discussed when they were talking about Linda.
Jim, that's yours.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting because, you know, WWE historically, very touchy-feely when it comes to the way anything is portrayed, and they just had a little, they wish things could have been said in a better context. That's pretty much what I gathered out of it, because they've had this problem before. What it comes down to is they did not have complete control over what went out. Not like a Vince McMahon live interview with Bob Costas, where he has almost complete control of what comes out. You know, it was... And the guy who interviewed Linda and whatnot is the new anchor of Nightline, so there's something to be said there, perhaps. You know, one of those kind of deals.
And control as such is still seen as being seen all the way down to the DVD releases. I'm going to throw in a little bit on my personal pet peeve. And yes, I probably shouldn't do this when we've already talked about one wrestler death. When I found out about the Satan's Prison DVD set, about all the Elimination Chamber matches, I was very excited. They were even including, in its entirety, the one chamber match that Chris Benoit was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought he never existed in WWE. What are you talking about?
Well, I realized that Hardcore Holly was probably available, but all he did was December to Disaster, and he really doesn't even want that on his resume.
Right.
But I'm going to put my foot down again and say that once again WWE has a great job from keeping me purchasing this as commentary to that match has been edited.
Oh.
Anything positive spoken about Benoit was edited out of the commentary, which means it's going to be awful darn quiet during that match.
Yeah.
So, again, you guys have lost a customer. You, WWE, either acknowledge him and understand that there's always going to be an idiot that's going to say, oh, you're glorifying a murderer, when all you're doing is replaying history as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Go all or nothing with it. And I look at it, and maybe this is from a different perspective. I separate the personal from the professional, and I think most people do. Most people separate the personal from the professional. You are complimenting the professional as a wrestler, so on and so forth. You know how he worked as a wrestler. What the heck?
Right. I mean, you know, just because I'm willing to sit down and watch Hard Knocks or WrestleMania 20 does not make me someone who condones what happened that weekend. I wasn't there.
typos, Kevin.
Yeah, it has no bearing on the 20-plus years before that.
Exactly.
And for that, you know, if that's the case, then I'm just going to find, I believe it was a New Year's Revolution that had that particular Benoit match, and I will go find that DVD. I will not buy Satan's Prison for that reason.
There you go.
So, but I don't like going on the downer. We're going to start on our pick'ems for SummerSlam.
So soon? We still should have just enough time because I wanted to talk about a little more about Lopez tonight, but we can do that after pick'ems.
Let's do that now. Let's get that out of the way because you guys are going to end up doing most of the talking. I know that a lot of the wrestlers showed up on Lopez. I missed them, which is a shame because I did see when Jericho was on Lopez, and that was epic.
Yeah,
that was absolutely epic.
I think a total of 5 wrestlers on, 4 for karaoke and 1 for a straight-up interview. The ones karaokeing were The Miz, David Otunga, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth. And the main guy was Randy Orton. And because of Randy, we now know Cena as Naked Baby.
That's awesome.
Brought that on. That amuses me somewhat.
Does this mean he's a part of the club now? Cena, that is.
I don't even know where the hell you're going.
The oil club, the baby oil.
No. Oh, the
baby oil.
Put it on a naked baby sometimes.
I'm just amazed Orton chose not to wear his ring gear this time.
Yeah.
It looked good. Yes.
He wore pants?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh, my.
Well, I turned him on.
Now all we need is Cody Rhodes and the Triforce is complete.
Yes.
By the way, I'm going to use some cotton swabs on my earwax as Cody asked me to tonight. So, yes. I'm sorry, the dashing Cody Rhodes bits are hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can tell he's enjoying every second of it. It's so goofy and so over the top in its own way.
I mean, you can tell half the time he's trying not to bust out laughing. You can tell that.
Oh, yeah. You knew it took more than one take to get through this.
Exactly. I want to see the outtakes of this on a DVD somewhere. With censored commentary, of course.
Yes. So it is confirmed that the entire Reynolds family is a bunch of uber doofuses.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I was going to say, it is really nice to see that the charisma that Dusty has is kind of there in Cody when we see these segments. Because it's not really as loud as Dusty, but you can tell that he's got that charisma.
I'll give you that.
I'll give it that it's a lot more coherent than Dusty.
I don't know what you're talking about. If you will, I got the plan on the ship.
Yes.
And he got a bicycle.
Don't take this wrong, but it just amazes me that a white man can talk like a Black Baptist preacher.
Send your letters to Nikki Haman. Or the American
I know I'm going to get some hate mail over that.
Yeah, I got your back. It's all good.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go to Pick'ems before I get myself in any more trouble.
Yes. What?
Reverend Jackson's on the phone. You might want to take it. No, go ahead.
God, I hope not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 6 matches on this card, but one of them is guaranteed to go at least 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Ooh,
So, let's see. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I can squeeze 9 points out of this.
Oh, damn.
No, better make it 8. Stepway, are you ready, sir?
Yes.
Okay, chat room. I'm going to take a peek over at you. Chat room, are you ready to bring in your picks? I'll let them figure that out.
It's on point.
Yeah, that boy, I know you're in there, so you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Six matches. Let's see. It doesn't take 45 minutes for Cena to make 7 guys tap out to the STFU. Stop that!
We only need 10. You! Dana Typhoon!
Only took Chris Jericho a nanosecond, so hey.
Like I said, he lasted longer than he usually does.
But that's what she said.
Face mounted. All right, let's go.
Okay, now then. I will get to that. I'm going to do that match last. So.
Fittingly.
So we'll start with the Divas title. Alicia Fox versus the returning Melina. Who actually looked pretty good and coming back. She can still scream. She can still do splits. And she could probably break Alicia Fox in half. But will she be able to, Jim?
Oh, sorry. I had thoughts in my head again. I'm sorry. Yes, she will. And Melina will win. Yes.
Fourth?
I think she's going to win this one.
And Stepway, you thinking the same thing?
Yes, I am. Melina will take back the title that she never lost.
True that.
I agree.
All right, and now we're waiting on Carl and Typho. Carl picks Melina. And Typho. You're slow. Let's keep going. Oh, Melina by disqualification. Ooh, savvy.
Okay.
I hope that doesn't happen, that Melina takes back her title, but hey, Melina's Melina. All right, next match.
Next match is the handicap match in more ways than one. Big Show facing off against all of the Straight Edge Society, meaning Punk, whose arm seems to be close to 100%, Luke Gallows, and the recently unmasked Joseph Joey Mercury. Big Show is at a slight disadvantage with his evil straight edge taped, slightly damaged punching hand. But that's never seemed to slow him down. What do you think, Jim?
I'm going to go with the show. I'm going to go with the comedy show, as I call him.
Fourth, what do you think?
I think the Giant's going to come close, but the Giant will ultimately come up short because eventually Punk's going to find a way to cheat to win. Punk's going to win.
Okay. That boy, you got that?
Yes, Straight Edge Society for fourth.
Okay, and what do you think?
This is going to be fun because Big Show's going to come in with a big cast and punch everyone stupid. But yeah, something tells me Serena's gonna get involved, just leaving enough time open for Punk and Gallows and Mercury to finish off the Big Show.
I'm taking the Straight Edge Society on momentum at this point. Was throwing around jobbers. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, keep going. Actually, you keep going because I'm waiting on the last one.
Boom.
All right. And now for everybody's picks. Myself, Nikki, Forth, and Carl all picked the Straight Edge Society. Jim and Typho picked the Big Show.
All right. Next on your list will be the Intercontinental Title rematch. Dolph Ziggler faces off against Kofi Kingston. Kingston is not pleased that he's lost his Intercontinental title, especially since Vicky Guerrero's involved. Kofi, being a gentleman, is not going to take it out on Vicky, much to the audience's displeasure. But these two are actually a pretty even match. Jim, do you think the belt's going to go back to Kingston, or do you think Ziggler's going to hold on to it for a bit?
I want to give it to Kofi, but I'm going to go with Ziggler.
Fourth, what do you think?
I think Kofi's getting himself disqualified.
So Ziggler by disqualification.
Yep.
Okay.
That boy?
Ziggler will keep the title, mainly because Vicky once again will get her nose in where she doesn't belong, and that will set up eventually a match for Elimination Chamber or something where it's Kofi versus Dolph, no people at ringside.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggler only had that belt a week, and WWE is usually pretty good about keeping a belt in place. So, yeah, Ziggler retained. Night of Champions is the next pay-per-view, so your wish might be coming true faster than you think, Stat Boy.
Good. And everyone picks Ziggler. Myself, Nikki, Fourth, Jim, Carl, and Typo, everyone picks Ziggler. So that's a broom. We've only had one non-broom match because everyone picked Melina as well.
Let's see. Next is the WWE Championship match. Sheamus says the current champion facing off against number one contender Randy Orton. Now, Sheamus has been quite the fighting champion, and Orton has just been himself, which is still acting evil, even though the entire world is cheering him. I don't get it, people. Is it just because he's facing Sheamus? Jim, get me out of this one.
This is tough, because if it was a normal SummerSlam pay-per-view, this would be the main event, and they want to go on a high note. This is not going to be the main event by most accounts, so I can see, safely, Sheamus retaining.
I'm getting the feeling, actually, that Orton's going to win the match.
I'm thinking what you're picking up on is the last chance rule they seem to be touching on when they speak of the match.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, it doesn't feel like they're trying to put him into another division at the moment. It does feel like he will stay at the top of the heavyweight division.
Catboy?
Whereas me, I really do feel that Sheamus will pull it out via trickery. Orton, well, is out of the title picture for a month or two. He'll be back when there's a new champion involved.
Which I really think is coming sooner than later. I think Sheamus is retaining. Orton will be backed away from the title, because Sheamus is going to be holding that belt until the imminent return of the evil Dr. Levesque.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everyone's picks are as follows. Myself, Nikki, Jim, and Typho all pick Sheamus. Fourth, and Carl pick Orton.
Alrighty. Next is the World Heavyweight title. Current world champion Kane has fingered Rey Mysterio as being the man who put The Undertaker out. Don't you love shoot comments, ladies and gentlemen?
Yikes.
Had to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish my sound effect was still on here.
Oh, my.
No, I was looking for who the hell these things were, and I don't know if it's still in here. But Kane claims that Undertaker's only worked when he came out of his vegetative state were Rey Mysterio. He, of course, pleads innocence after all. He's a good guy. Why would he do a silly thing like that on purpose? He then says Kane's only blaming Mysterio just to get the heat off himself. He thinks that Kane did it, and Lord knows he's done it before. I only have to go back 2003 on that, so the 7-year rule is in effect. Kane claims, though, if he beats Rey Mysterio, he's going to take the little booger, wad him up, and stuff him in a casket. That's not a stipulation of the match, though. Jim, you think Kane can actually hold on to his title?
It's interesting. How far away is The Undertaker from potentially coming back, storyline aside?
Any day now.
Yeah.
I have a distinct feeling Sunday could be that day. Maybe not him in person, but maybe he'll see the Titantron or something go off and completely go ape over it. I'm gonna give Mysterio the win. Just a hunch play.
As much as I would like the idea of them running with Rey, even accidentally having done it, it feels like they're going with the obvious here. I think Kane's gonna win. Lights are going to go out, the bell's going to toll, and Kane realizes he's got a new opponent to deal with.
Man, now I'm caught in a conundrum. I will give Kane the win, though. But yeah, fourth, you're dead right.
It's one of those times I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but it just sounds too logical for them.
So this is how I'm going to play it. Mysterio wins by DQ and gets away. Kane retains his title, and Undertaker calls him on the carpet.
All right, so that's Nikki and Jim with Mysterio, everyone else with Kane. Let's go to our main event.
Yes, now the potential main event, Nexus versus Team WWE. Nexus is working as a well-oiled machine and has taken out all sorts of potential replacements after Edge quit, Jericho tapped, and Kali is potentially injured. It seems that Jericho and Edge have come back, and there's still a space open if anybody's available. This is going to be a three-pointer, so that boy, I'll make this quick.
Right.
Who wins?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the first pinned? And who's number seven? Jim?
Well, A and C, I think, are easy. B and Nexus wins. Cena gets pinned last. Pinned first?
First pinned.
Pinned first. I'm going to go with Morrison.
Okay.
Okay, and who is number seven?
Okay, hold on, let me back up. Let me change that now that I think about it. R-Truth is pinned first, Cena's pinned last.
Okay. But the Nexus wins.
Nexus wins.
Now, the number seven, I mean, is who is the seventh guy? Who is going to be the number seven?
Oh, who's the seventh guy? I'm sorry. I'm going to go with The Miz.
Okay. Fourth, what do you think?
I think Cena, Team WWE will win with Truth getting pinned first. And I think that ultimately they're going to go with the six that they have. I feel like they're just going to swerve it.
Okay.
Okay, no number seven.
Josh, make it quick.
Right. The Nexus wins. Heath Slater, though, is the first one pinned. And number seven, I'm also going to play it safe and pick The Miz.
Awesome.
I see the Nexus winning. Darren Young is the first one pinned. I like that idea. That last slot is not going to be filled. They get Darren Young quick, and we're 6-on-6 right away.
Okay. Numbers. All right. And as for title, WWE wins, R-Truth pinned first, no number seven, Carl, Nexus wins, Miz is the number seven, and Carl, who's pinned first, not pinned last. And I hate to say it, but we're out of time, everybody.
We are. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection. Please enjoy SummerSlam, and we'll be back next week. You've been warned. Good night, everybody.
Good Thanks. Night.
Oh, wait, I just thought of something. What if The Miz is banned still from Staples Center?
Do you think they'll exercise that continuity? I'm willing to take this in our cut.
Okay, and Darren Young is number 7 for Carl.
I will go nuts if they bring back what's his name just to try to keep Miz out of Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
That would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, 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 oh. Is that what you're going for?
No.
No, Danielson. I jizz my pants.
Too much information. Okay.
Danielson,
sure.
No. His 90 day isn't up yet. It's not for another month.
September 11th.
He's still going to WWE. Remember, his is for only not WWE, well, not televised stuff. He can always just come back to WWE.
Okay. Let's see. Because I really think Miz is going to just keep... It's going to go ahead and keep stringing Cena along and stringing him along. And then he's going to come down the ramp. He's going to look at the guys. He's going to blow them off. He's going to get them back. I just can't see him, you know. He doesn't care. He just likes the fact that Brett and John Cena were groveling at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He was digging that.
True.
To be honest, one interesting idea I would like to see is whoever wins the match, the championship match, they're celebrating. Then Miz uses it, he wins, but then they dig up the whole band thing. And then Cena basically realizes he has to go it with his six guys, with the six people, because, well, the Dusty Finish happened earlier, and it has implications on the main event.
Actually, I'm going to throw this to you guys. The fact that they push every time Miz is running out there with the briefcase, that anybody with the briefcase wins. That Miz might be the first one to fail.
I think he will be. The way that, like you said, the way they keep purloining it, that he is the chosen one. He will be the next best thing. You know, he will be the next big champion. I think to a certain extent it might help him if he doesn't win by a Money in the Bank. You know, he'll still be main event status. He's already there. He's in main event territory right now, near the top of the card. So if he loses, it doesn't mean he falls to the bottom or becomes a mid-carder again. I think it's almost a positive if he loses Money in the Bank in a weird way.
Huh.
That basically makes the moment when he becomes champion not as predictable.
Exactly.
And then they save it for if they're as high on Miz as I think they are, they're going to save his win for someplace a little more important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be Mania. Although it'd be mind blowing if he won the Rumble next year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
and does it that way.
Well, of course, he could still have Money in the Bank by then, conceivably, but then he'd have two shots, conceivably. So he could use the Money in the Bank, say, in February, and, oh, look, I'm going to WrestleMania. How you doing? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few different directions they can go with Miz. I really just, you know, the way they keep hyping it, I just think that, you know, this is one where Miz is going to fall on his face. But you're right, he's not going to lose any real momentum on it. But it's going to be the realization that he's going to go in there, cocky as all get out, hands over the briefcase, looks at the other guy like, you're done, skull crushing finale, does the cat the lazy pin, whoever pin kicks out, and Miz is just flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes too long getting up, and whoever he's facing is just going to pick him up and wad him up in a ball and kick him into the cheap seats.
And of course, if that does happen, that would be a shock of all shocks, I think, knowing creative. But we can hope.
And that's a freebie if WWE Creative happens to be listening to my show. Ha 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 ha.
Hey, I charge for my ideas. Zazzle.com.
What?
Slash Williams.
25 cents?
Hey. No, I'm making t-shirts at Zazzle.com. Search Williams.
Ah.
Thank you. Yeah. Ideas aplenty. Anyway. Damn, I didn't get it on the live show. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll get plugged in the show.
Be dialing, people.
Unless we get another torrent of news stories like we did this time around.
Oh, exactly. Just crazy stuff. Weird week. Weird week away from the squared circle. We didn't even really bring up NXT in the one of the lamest... Well, I'll say this. It was better than keg carrying... Power of the Punch, anybody?
That confused me. The one thing that I wanted to happen didn't happen, though.
Okay, and that would be somebody punch Matt Stryker off the stage?
No. I wanted Husky Harris to break the damn thing.
Yeah.
I wanted him to go last. I wanted, McGillicuddy put up a good score. Riley puts up a close score. Husky goes last, breaks it.
So he wins by default, exactly. Yeah. Is it just me, or did Riley's punch look, like, way off compared to McGillicuddy's? Just a random.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but, my God, could they be rigged?
Oh, my. Oh, I know. I'm just... Continuity.
Sometimes it bugs me with stuff like that, that they might have, Let them play. Let's see what actually happens.
Have a little fun, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Ted Carey, they there's just some stuff you couldn't cover up.
Yeah.
Like people who can't keep a hold of the keg.
Yeah. Or tripping over their own feet.
Yes,
Mr. Make It a Win.
Yeah, but that anything beats the kissing contest. That's all I'm saying.
Ugh.
Alex Riley saved that.
Yeah, but... And hopefully you've noticed the new soundbite from the... on the soundboard. Well, you don't have it up now anymore, but,
No, I still got it up. What's the soundbite name?
The Josh Matthews homage to JR. That was from the kissing contest.
This is going to be a slobber knocker.
Exactly. So...
Yeah,
and the Earth of Fae line, but please don't.
No?
Well, it's just the chorus of Earth of Fae.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
Yes. And you have your GM email notifier in there, too, so. If you get an important email during the show, you can let us know.
Yes, indeed. And, by the way, thank you for the email parody and anime mallets to those of you who gave away the joke.
Oopsie-daisy.
And now they've cut the sound. Now they cut the soundboard off on me.
That's awkward.
I think that's a hint.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think BTR is telling me, "Will you guys just go to bed?"
Yeah, it's 10 after midnight.
Yes. It's 9 minutes after midnight. You know where your AWA wrestling is. Yes.
I can flip channels. Personally, I am going to try to get rid of this convention creeping crud that I got.
All right.
That is probably going to keep me off the road tomorrow. I was going to go work Beyond Wrestling, but I don't think I'm going.
Ooh. All right.
But that's okay. I'm going to talk further with Super Over about that.
Alrighty.
So, gentlemen, blast as always.
Yep.
Thank you much.
And, Jim, thank you again for hosting last week.
Thank you. It was an honor.
So, gentlemen, until next week.
Hasta luego. And aloha.
Yep, good night.
Bye. And hello and such. Later.
Yep.
Good night,
guys.
Good night, gentlemen. And good night to whoever's on the IM.